Welcome to True Crime with Lux. Who is Joseph James DeAngelo Jr.? Born November 8, 1945 in Bath, New York, to Kathleen DeGrout and Joseph DeAngelo Sr. He had two older sisters and a little brother. It is reported that Joseph was abused by his father during his childhood. Also at a young age, Joseph witnessed one of his sisters being raped by two airmen while they were living in Germany. The family moved to California when he was still a kid, and there are no reports of him getting into any trouble until high school. During his teen years, he committed burglaries, mail theft, and tortured and killed animals. He received his GED from Folsom High School in 1964. He then went into the United States Navy, where he served for 22 months during the Vietnam War as a damage controlman. Then in 1968, he began attending Sierra College in Rockland, California, where he got his associate's degree in police science. He then went on to get a bachelor's degree in criminal justice from Sacramento State University. He took postgraduate courses and police training at the College of the Sequoias in Visalia, completing his 32-week internship at the Roseville Police Department. In May 1970, Joseph got engaged to Bonnie Caldwell, who was a nursing student at Sierra College. Their relationship didn't last long because Bonnie ended it in 1971 after he became manipulative and abusive. Joseph threatened her with a gun after the breakup to make her marry him. Bonnie still refused to marry him. He went on to marry Sharon Huddle in 1973. From 1973 to 76, he worked in the burglary unit in Exeter. Then from August 1976 to July of 1979, he worked in Auburn until he was arrested for shoplifting a hammer and dog repellent. He was sentenced to 6 months of probation and fired from his job. After being fired, he proceeded to stalk and threaten to kill the chief of police. In 1980, Joseph and Sharon bought a house in Citrus Heights. They had three daughters together. The couple separated in 1991, but never divorced. In 1990, he began working as a truck mechanic at Save Mart Supermarkets Distribution Center in Roseville and retired in 2017. While working there in 96, he was arrested for not paying for gas, but the charges were dropped. Joseph DeAngelo committed many crimes throughout his adult life and was given many names by the media. From 1974 to 76, he was known as the Visalia Ransacker. It is believed he committed 120 burglaries and one murder. On September 11, 1975, he broke into the home of Claude Snelling, who was a 45-year-old journalism professor at the College of the Sequoias. Claude woke up around 2 a.m. because he heard a strange noise. He went to see what it was and found his back door open. He then saw a man in a ski mask trying to take his 16-year-old daughter. The intruder then shot Claude twice and punched the daughter before fleeing. Claude was able to crawl back into the house where his wife came out of their room and found him. He soon died from his wounds. The police were able to find a bicycle that belonged to the assailant. Police, determined to find the ransacker, posted a $4,000 reward for information and set up stakeouts. On December 12th, a man in a mask entered a backyard where Detective William McGowan was in the garage. He attempted to detain the masked man, but he took off running and fired at the detective. He was able to escape while Detective McGowan waited for backup. From 1976 to 79, Joseph was named the East Area Rapist. He would stalk middle-class neighborhoods looking for single-story homes and wait for the women inside to be alone. It is said that he would sometimes break in beforehand to make sure there was a door or a window unlocked so he would have a way in. When he came back, he would threaten them with a gun before tying them up and blindfolding and gagging them. If he broke into a house that also had a man, he would make the woman tie him up, and then Joseph would make the man lie down while he stacked dishes on their back, saying if he heard the dishes move, he would kill them. He then would take the female in another room and rape her repeatedly. After the attacks, he would stay in the house, going through the victim's belongings. On February 2, 1978, a young couple, Brian and Katie Magor, were taking their dog on a walk when they came upon an altercation in the road. They began to run away but were shot to death. Investigators believed it was the East Area Rapist, but didn't have any evidence until Joseph confessed in 2020. 1979 to 86, he became known as the original Night Stalker. October 1, 1979, he broke into a Galetta home. He tied the couple up and left the room. They tried to escape and the woman screamed for help, which made Joseph flee the scene worried that someone heard her. The couple survived and he got away. On December 30th, Robert Offerman and Deborah Manning were found in Robert's home, shot to death. Police found Robert's bindings were untied, leading them to believe he was able to get out of them and possibly confront the attacker. Neighbors reported hearing no gunshots. March 13, 1980, Charlene and Lyman Smith were murdered in their home. They were both bound with drapery cord. Before Charlene was raped, the killer used a log to bludgeon both of them to death. August 19th, Keith and Patrice Harrington were found in their gated community home. There was evidence that they were bound, but the ligatures were missing. Patrice had been raped before they were bludgeoned to death with an unknown object. February 6, 1981, Manuela Whitten was home alone due to her husband being in the hospital. The killer broke in and tied Manuela up before raping her and bludgeoning her to death. The ligatures and murder weapon were missing from the crime scene. July 27th, Sherry Domingo and Gregory Sanchez were killed. The attacker broke in through the bathroom window, shooting Gregory immediately before bludgeoning him. Sherry was then tied up before being raped and then bludgeoned to death. Like the other scene, the weapon and restraints were missing. Neighbors said they didn't hear the gunshot or the attack. On May 4, 1986, Janelle Cruz was home alone while her family was on vacation when Joseph broke into her home. He tied her up before raping her. He then bludgeoned her to death with what police believe was a pipe wrench. Investigators started to connect the different crimes and thought they were looking for one man for the burglaries, rapes, and murders based on MO. In 2001, they started connecting the crimes by DNA, but the suspect wasn't in the system. They also started calling him the Golden State Killer. In June of 2016, the FBI released more information on the crimes with a new composite sketch. Eventually, through genealogy websites, they were able to narrow it down to the D'Angelo family. They began to build family trees and rule out people based on age, sex, and location during the crimes. They were finally left with Joseph. On April 18, 2018, they were able to obtain a DNA sample from the door handle of his car and a tissue from his trash can. The sample matched the Golden State Killer. He was finally arrested on April 24th and charged with 8 counts of first-degree murder with special circumstances. On May 10th, he was charged with 4 more counts of first-degree murder by the Santa Barbara County District Attorney's Office. Joseph claimed he had an inner personality named Jerry that made him commit the crimes. Unfortunately, Joseph could not be charged with the burglaries and rapes due to the statute of limitation. He was charged with 13 counts of murder and 13 counts of kidnapping. He was arraigned in August. In April of 2019, prosecutors announced they would seek the death penalty. March 2020, Joseph offered to plead guilty if the death penalty was taken off the table. The judge originally denied it. However, on June 29th, he pleaded guilty to 13 counts of first-degree murder and special circumstances, along with 13 counts of kidnapping. On August 21st, 2020, he was sentenced to multiple consecutive life sentences without the possibility of parole. Joseph D'Angelo is incarcerated in protective custody at the California State Prison. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, please like and share it with your friends. Stay safe, and I'll be talking to you next week.